everyone, and welcome inside another edition. It's the Adam Jones Podcast, Season 3, presented by the Baltimore Banner. I'm Jerry Coleman. He's a former five-time All-Star Adam Jones back in Barcelona. More on that later in the podcast today. In Episode 67, we'll be joined by former Major Leaguer Matt Holliday, a seven-time All-Star, 2007 NL batting champ. I believe he has a son that plays for the Orioles. You might have heard of him. Adam and I will also talk about the rash of arm injuries going on inside the MLB. Is it due solely to the pitch clock? I think Adam will have an opinion for that. Plus, he made a quick trip to the U.S., as I just mentioned, for Jackie Robinson Day. We'll recap his whirlwind tour of America and Barcelona. And someone will qualify for a Lido's Pizza $50 gift card in our socially speaking segment. But let's begin. You know how we do it. Brought to you by our friends at Jimmy's Famous Seafood, where we saw Derrick Henry enjoying his free crab cakes this week. Recently spotted there, he is former All-Star and the father of Jackson Holliday. Now a big Orioles fan, he's Matt Holliday. Matt, thanks for being patient and being on the podcast. We appreciate you being here. Speaking of patience, what was it like traveling around, watching Jackson in anticipation of that first major league hit as you go through Fenway and then Oriole Park at Camden Yards?
Yeah, it was a great time. Obviously, super excited for Jackson to get a chance to make his major league debut and to do it in Boston in such a historic stadium was a lot of fun. And you want to get that first hit out of the way because you can kind of get that monkey off your back and then relax a little bit. Unfortunately, it took him a few days to get a hit. And it felt like he had some good at-bats, just couldn't find a hit. But it's one of those things. Baseball's hard, as you guys know. Hitting is very difficult, particularly nowadays. To roll out there against some of the guys that he faced so far has been very challenging. And so I think he's starting to settle in, but it's been a great week. I mean, obviously you want the hits to come and you want the production to come, but they're winning games. He's playing really good defense But it's been really fun for me to get a chance to watch Jackson play in the major leagues and do what he loves to do. And so all in all, it's been great. Just hoping that he kind of, you know, as a dad, you have no control. You want him to get hot and start to swing the bat good and start to contribute offensively as well.
This week, you entered a really cool and selected group of father-son duos. And I just read the book of the father-son duels with the Harrisons and many other Griffies. How has that been as a dad, just like emotionally? Because you're not far removed from baseball. Most of us that are far removed are our kids, especially our teenagers, young teenagers. Yours is in the major leagues. How has this been, like, just as a father, just like, my son's really here?
Yeah, I mean, it's been surreal. I think that the thing that I told Jackson, I said, well, I mean, if I had known you were going to get there this fast, I'd have tried to stick around a few more years and try to pull off the King Griffey Jr., King Griffey Sr., situation where we got to play together, but in joking. It's been cool. I think that, when you talk about the Griffeys and the Harrisons and you talk about the Uptons and all the families, the Ripkins and all these families that have been able to have, multiple family members in the major leagues. It's pretty cool to be part of that select group of people. But, like I said, I'm just happy. I'm proud of him. I'm more proud of who he is as a person and how he handles himself and his humility and just who he is as a young man and who he's turning into be. As a father, that's what you hope for. You hope that you've raised him to go out and be a good kid and somebody who honors the Lord and his family and how he plays the game and how he handles himself around media and kids that want his autograph and all those things. I think is for me the thing I'm most proud of.
How do you properly push your kids? I'm a father of a 10 and 8-year-old, and of course, I want them to be the greatest they can be. How do you properly push your kids in the right direction? Mine's play basketball and mm-hmm. football, soccer, because mm-hmm. we live in Barcelona. So how do you just give them the right advice and the right tutelage?
Yeah, I think for me, it's all about, I always told the boys, if it's your passion and you want to practice, I'm out there all day. I'll throw to you all day. But it's not my idea. It's got to be your idea. It's got to be what you want to do. And so I think that it always isn't going to match up where, your passions are the same as your kids' passions. And But you know, in my case with Jackson and Ethan, the two older ones, they love baseball. They grew up around it. They grew up, you know, at the park, in the locker room. And so they love to practice baseball. And so I wanted to just promote that and push that as far as they want it to go, and have them understand what it's going to take. If their dream is to play Major League Baseball, you don't just get to dream it. Like there's the work that goes with it. And I think that that's the one thing with, like I said, with the boys is I've always said, hey, here's what it's going to take. And if that's really what you want, I can help you. But it's got to be your passion, not my passion. And so that's really been really cool for me is that our passions align in their love for baseball. And I get a chance to, you know, take them in the cage and figure out, you know, they're both very different. And so learning how to father and coach them differently has been, a challenge at times, but fulfilling at times as well, where, you know, Jackson wants it all. Like, you know, you see something, say something, give me, if you see a mechanical flaw, if you he doesn't get easily rattled. And Ethan, on the other hand, I had to learn that I had to let him come to me, and just keep throwing. And if he gets frustrated, I let him come to me if something feels off, because that's just, he doesn't want everything that I see. It's just, they're very different in emotions. And so that's something I would say is figure out how your kids like to be coached, how they like to be fathered. And that's something that's been a real challenge with four kids is they're all so different, and just trying to learn each kid and the most effective way to parent them, to push them, to love on them, to encourage them, all the different emotions that our kids need. And even as a coach, you know, and getting a chance to coach some in college is figuring out how guys learn, what's the most effective way to coach them, is really a fascinating art. I think that I've been really, I've really enjoyed trying to figure out over the last few years.
What was the scramble like as a family, the plan to get to Jackson's first game? I believe you admitted you had to call in a favor to Kevin Millar. I don't know how he has a private jet. I don't know what you had to give him in exchange for that. But then you and the family decided to go from Boston to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Was that always the plan? Were you just waiting for that first hit and then you were going to go, or did you have a plan in place?
So the story, you know, as you know, it sometimes gets, as the further away it gets, the more skewed it gets. But the actual story is that he called us on, I think it was Tuesday night. We were having dinner after Ethan's game here in town. And we live in Stillwater, Oklahoma, which is about an hour from Oklahoma City and an hour from Tulsa. So we're kind of in the middle. And he called and said, I'm going up. And so, you know, we immediately go into, well, how do we get to Boston tomorrow? And a lot of the commercial flights were already sold out. It was going to be very difficult to get to Boston by game time. So I called a friend of mine, Ken Davidson, here in town. He's got a plane. It's a small plane, but I knew that he might have access to a bigger plane. And he said, Matt, I you won't be able to fit your crew in my plane, but I'm going to make a call. So he called me back and he said, I got good news and bad news. And I said, okay. And he said, the good news is there's actually a Falcon, whatever, plane that's going from Oklahoma to Boston tomorrow, and there's nobody on it. It's a dead leg or whatever they call, you know, that, where there's nobody on it. They're going to, I don't know if they're going to pick somebody up or something. He said, and you can fit and you guys can take it. So I'm thinking, what could possibly be the bad news? And he said, the bad news is it's leaving at 4:30 tomorrow morning. So I said, I'm a sleeper. I don't like getting up early. So I don't know why I even thought about it. I was like, well, okay, well, let me call my wife and I'll check and I'll get back to you. And I called her and she's like, I mean, we don't have any choice. Of course, take it. I called him back and I said, Ken, we'll be there at 4:15. So we got there and got the kids up at 4:00. The high school coach here said, take Ethan, go. We loaded up on this plane. We flew. We landed in Boston. The Millar part of it is that I texted him and I said, hey, Kevin, we're coming to Boston. I knew he was there for the opening day. And I said, you know, about tickets. I was like, you have access, you know, to good seats. You know, I know the family section in Boston is up a little higher and kind of behind some poles. And he said, so he didn't text me back right away. Like he was, I know he ended up telling me, you know, he was there to celebrate one of their World Series championships. And he said, so we ended up buying StubHub tickets that were down close. And then he texted me, says, hey, Uncle Kevin's got you, whatever you need. So he ended up getting us the seats right next to the dugout. So we had four there and then four that we had bought on StubHub and two behind that. So we were kind of all separate, for the first two games in Boston. And then we were headed to Baltimore because we wanted to see, the opening day at Camden Yards. So we got our scheduled our flight from Boston to Baltimore. And that's an easy get. So we flew from Boston to Baltimore and then Sunday, Leslie was, my wife was taking the two younger kids and Ethan, they had to get back, for school and Ethan had a practice. So, I decided to stay and watch that, Sunday game. And so, I got a chance to see his first hit and they had to come back. So, I flew out Sunday night and was home around 1 o'clock in the morning and back with the kids on Monday for school and all that. So that's kind of how it all went. And it was great. It was just, it was a whirlwind of a couple days.
We will get back into our continuing conversation with Jackson Holliday's dad. He's also known as the former NL batting champ Matt Holliday here on the Adam Jones Podcast. But first, a word from our sponsors.
The Adam Jones Podcast is brought to you by our friends at the Weinman Company. Everyone knows Greenmount Station in Hampstead, but did you know that at Greenmount Station you can bet 7 days a week just like you're at the track? With in-person teller windows and state-of-the-art touchscreen kiosks. And with Greenmount Station's brand new Bet Park Sportsbook, you can bet on all other sports as well, wherever you are in Maryland. Spreads, money lines, live bets, props, parlays, and teasers. The Bet Parks Maryland mobile app is now live for Apple and Android devices, so you'll never miss your next big score. Just search for Bet Parks MD in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. And for a limited time, 21 and over Adam Jones podcast listeners can get a $75 gift card to Greenmount Station simply for opening a new account with promo code GMS and a minimum $50 initial deposit. $75 gift card for new users in Maryland only. 21 and over only. Please play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Adam Jones podcast is brought to you by Jimmy's Famous Seafood, Charm City's favorite crab cake destination. Local sports fan? Experience the ultimate pregame party at the tailgate. Cheer on the Ravens with iconic live performances, an open bar, and mouth-watering eats. Can't make it? No worries. Bring the same food that caught the attention of the Food Network right to your doorstep. Shipping East Coast recipes nationwide. Jimmy's Famous Seafood is the official sponsor of the guests appearing on the Adam Jones Podcast.
Maryland Lottery. Because fun looks good on you. Right now, play our exciting new multiplier scratch-offs for a chance to win up to $2 million. Come and get your fun.
If you received ERC funds, listen closely. The IRS has 10 years to audit your claim, but you only have until March 22nd to get taxpayer relief, and the clock is ticking. If you're losing sleep over a possible audit, we'll review your claim. If you made a filing error, we'll set things right. If you're being audited, we'll provide expert representation. The IRS Voluntary Disclosure Program ends March 22nd. You deserve peace of mind. Visit SaveMyERC.com to schedule a consultation today. That's SaveMyERC.com. Effective Solutions, your one-stop shop for commercial contracting. Everything from excavation and site development to emergency remediation and restoration. Effective Solutions specializes in many forms of commercial and mixed-use construction. With a dedicated staff and a commitment to quality, Effective Solutions delivers every time. There are a lot of ways to make whiskey, but there's only one way to make Jack Daniels. At Jack Daniels, they charcoal mellow every drop, only using water from Cave Spring Hollow in Tennessee. When you make your own label, you make everything else yours too. But we don't need to tell you that, do we? Make it count. Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. 2022. Jack Daniels, all rights reserved. The Adam Jones Podcast welcomes Relief Shop,
Shop Maryland's largest adult use and medical cannabis menu located at 1114 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, with medical delivery available throughout Maryland 7 days a week, only at Relief Shop.
Your fun awaits at Hollywood Casino Perryville. Feed the whole crew with something for everyone, from cheesesteaks to crab cake sandwiches. Plus, ask how you can get a $15 dining credit. Get in on the gaming action with the hottest slots and your favorite table games like blackjack, roulette, and poker. Free live shows every Friday and Saturday. Come experience nonstop fun and excitement only at Hollywood Casino Perryville.
Hey, you work hard, I work hard, and we all like to save money. That's why we need the Royal Farms Rofo Rewards app to get more value for our hard-earned money. With the app, you earn royalty points on every purchase, can place mobile orders for quick pickup, plus a discount at the gas pump with Rofo Pay. We all like to save money, and with the Rofo Rewards app, we do.
Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
It's the perfect time to check out a spacious and reliable new Toyota SUV. Like a RAV4, with available all-wheel drive and plenty of cargo space, you'll go from errands to adventures in no time. Plus, available features like wireless charging will keep you connected. Or check out a Highlander with seating for up to eight. It's a hub for family adventure. Your Toyota dealer is getting new vehicles in stock regularly, so don't wait. Find deals on a RAV4 or Highlander at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Let's get back into it. Our continuing conversation with former All-Star and Jackson Holliday's dad. He is Matt Holliday, only on the Adam Jones podcast.
I want to talk about your wife. How, I mean, her life has been predicated to baseball and kids. Is she going to go out and watch her baby play? I mean, it's her oldest. That is still her baby. Always going to be a baby child. But is she going to go out and follow you like as she followed she going to follow, say, Jackson, as she followed you just a little bit?
Well, we'll try to get there as much as we can. You know, we have three other kids, and our youngest is 10. And then, you know, our daughter is 14, and then Ethan's 17. So we have a full schedule of summer baseball events and all the stuff that the younger two are doing. And so we're going to be on the move. Trying to get to as many games as possible. Jackson, you know, the Orioles play in Kansas City this weekend. So I'm going to drive up there, I think, on Friday, which is about a 4.5 hour drive. So I'll drive up to Kansas City, and we're just going to make it work. You know, we're used to this. She's used to this. She says she could be a traveling secretary, you know, for any MLB team of all the scheduling she's done and all the travel she's done over the years. But he's still her baby. And every time, you know, he doesn't get a hit, I can tell I'd have to make her, you know, I think it's even harder on her with Jackson than it was with me, you know, as far as she wants him to do well. So she's great. She's a veteran of this lifestyle and used to it. So to answer your question, we'll be on the fly. We'll be here and there and trying to make everything work for all the kids and be with everybody as much as we can.
I want to know, as a father of a major league player, but also being a damn good major league player yourself, how do you separate that? Like, you obviously, you can have great conversations with your son on baseball terms. We can talk as men, as professionals, and also father, son. How do you separate that? Because there's going to be times where he's going to need you in a different way. And like, how do you balance those separate emotions?
Yeah, I think just being overly communicative about what he needs. I text him a lot, like, hey, look, if you need me to come for baseball, I'm happy to come and help you. I've obviously watched his swing since he was 2 years old and know kind of when he gets into a rut, what he's doing. I said, you know, but he has great coaches with the Orioles, and I just want to be whatever he needs me to be. And I think communicating that, if he just needs me to come to hang out, to be around, if he's on a, you know, a road trip or whatever, I just want him to know that I can be whatever he needs me to be. And if that's coach, great. If that's just dad, great. And I think that we've had a great relationship in that way, of just letting him talk and then trying to read what he's trying to say, if he's not being very direct with what he needs. And so I think that, you know, I have a few questions that I can ask him that are, you know, just kind of basics, like how you feel and how's your swing feel. If he says good, then I'm good. You know, sometimes you'll say, you know, I feel a little off, or, you know, something doesn't feel right. Then that kind of opens the door to talk about some baseball things or some mechanical things or things like that. But he's a very mature kid. So I kind of just try to read, you know, his body language or his tone, and just try to figure out, you know, where I can serve him best as dad. And you know, if he needs some coaching or whatever, or, you know, maybe just one tip. As you know, as a hitter, sometimes you just need something else to think about. You know, just one little thing might release, you know, some of the tension of you're not sure what's wrong, and you just need somebody to say, hey, when you're going good, this is what you're doing, this is what it looks like. And sometimes that may be all you need. And so just trying to, as you know, a hitting coach can be just sometimes just a word, a thought, an encouragement, and it kind of gets you back going. So just trying to read him and be the best I can at being a dad and trying to help him with baseball as well.
Well, just from covering him, his approach has been extremely professional, which is a credit to you. And Adam and I have talked about this in the past, and you know this as a former major leaguer. It's tougher to stay in the major leagues than to make it. Have you had that conversation with him? And he's surrounded, that you mentioned earlier in the podcast, by a great nucleus on this team, a young nucleus with a lot of guys that he's familiar with playing at a lower level.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the one thing, you know, as Jackson and I've talked about, you have to process it. You know, you can't chase the results. You know, obviously it's hard. You want the hits. You want, you know, the production. You want the doubles. You want the, you know, the extra base hits. But you have to really, really stick to the process. And then that's, you know, every day, put your work in, you know, put the time in to do your work and trust that you can go out and just compete. And you can't dwell on your, you know, yesterday or, you know, the last few days. Every day is new, and you look forward, and you trust that you've put in the time in the cage, and you trust that you've put in the time over your life, that you can't think about those things, and you just really have to stay in the moment. I think, as you said, they have a really good young team, and so you have guys to lean on like Gunnar and Adley who have experienced some of the same things that Jackson's experienced. And you know, Gunnar got off to a bit of a rough start last year and overcame it, won the Rookie of the Year, and now he's, you know, one of the top players in the league and thriving. So he's got guys to lean on. They're winning. He doesn't have to be the focal point of the team. He can, you know, they can bat him eighth and ninth, and he can go out and play good defense and run the bases and do things like that. So I think that that's a good thing. But as you said, it's a tough league. It's one thing to get there. It's another thing to play well and to be an everyday guy. But I, you know, I have to remind him, you know, he's 20 years old. He got drafted 18 months ago. He expects a lot out of himself, which is great. He expects to be good. He expects to be one of the best players, and that's all good. But, you know, this is one of those times where he's had a little bit of adversity, and, you know, he hasn't had a ton of that as a player yet. And so, as Adam knows, there's slumps, and there's no soft landing spots in the major leagues. Like, every day is a challenge. Every day is somebody else who's the best in the world at pitching, and you got to go out there and compete. And yesterday has nothing to do with today, and there's nothing you can do about your start, your one for whatever it is. We've all been there. I mean, we've all had one for 25s, and they're just a blip in the radar when you get done with your career. So just reminding him of that, and that he has everything that it takes. He played really well in spring training against the best in the world. I mean, you know, he was facing all the best pitchers in the league. He was starting those games, so he can do it. He's got all the skills he needs. He just got to get going a little bit.
You mentioned your son, Ethan, class of 26, I believe.
25.
He's
a junior. Yeah.
The head of it. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute stud. Watching your kids play, especially at such a high level, do you ever get nervous for them? Just like, you know, hey, like, you want it more than them, or you just sit back and you have this calmness about you that, you know, I can just let my kids go with the flow.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a perspective that I hope is an advantage, you know, having played at the highest level and know how hard baseball is. And I hope to offer them a perspective of somebody who's had experience doing it. And so I do get anxious for them to, or for, you know, I think you want your kids to succeed because you know how bad they want it. It's not something where it looks how it looks on me. I get anxious because I want them to do well because I know how much it means to them. But I never want them to feel like any pressure from me, because there's enough nowadays with social media and people, you know, there's constant chatter. It's covered now more than it ever has been. And so I just want home and dad and mom to be a safe place where we're not judging them on their performance. No one cares whether they got two hits or no hits or two home runs or they're 0 for 25. It doesn't change the dynamic of the family. We still eat the same. We still talk. We still laugh. We still enjoy each other the same, whether they're killing it on the field or they're struggling like crazy. And so I think that's our job as parents, to create an environment where they're not judged based on their performance. And I think that's and nowadays in this world, they need that more than anything else, because like I said earlier, with social media and everybody has a voice and everybody has an opinion, and it's hard to hide from those things nowadays. Like with us, I feel like in the prime of our career, outside of sports radio and in the newspaper, there wasn't a ton of chatter, you could easily keep your circle small and ignore the noise when you were struggling, or ignore the noise when you were doing great. You're neither, you know, most of the time you're neither at your best or you're neither at your worst. You're usually somewhere in the between. And so I think nowadays it's even more important that they find their value, particularly with their family. It's not related to their performance.
You've spoken on to just amazing character of your kids, and that is an tribute to you and your wife. I want to talk about Jackson as a baseball player. Obviously, he's a five-tool stud. Watching him from age 2 to now, what do you think his greatest attribute between the lines will be?
I think the overall his overall game and being able to help a team win, and his acumen of knowing how to run the bases, go first to third, make a play, make the right play on defense, make sure that if the guy's on second, get him over. Like playing the game, he's been around the game forever. I think he can do a lot of things to help you win games. I think he has a great swing. I think fundamentally, you know, particularly when he's going good, his swing fundamentally is really good, and he can do damage and hit extra base hits and get on base and walk and be a very good offensive player. But I think even since he was a little kid, he's been a winning player, and he thinks the game in a winning way. He's more concerned about whatever it takes to help the team win than he is necessarily like trying to be He-Man or Superman and try to, you know, win the game every time. And so I think that's the one thing that he's always been great at, is just watching him play the game and do a lot of different things.
All right. I think I know the answer to this question, but in totality, I want to ask it our final question for you. Did you have a t-shirt giveaway on your first major league home game when you debuted as a major leaguer like your son did? What do you recall about your first major league hit?
You know, I did not. In fact, I don't think I ever had a shirt. In 15 years, I don't think they ever made a shirt about me. I remember, my initial call up. I thought I was going to make the team with the Rockies in 2004. I had a great spring training. Didn't end up making it. And then Larry Walker and Preston Wilson both were having some knee issues, and I think it was Preston went on the DL. And we were in Memphis. I had played only 6 games in AAA, and got the call from the manager on the hotel phone. that tells you that it goes back how far it was. He called me and said Marv Foley was his name, or he still is his name. He called me and said, you're going to the major league. So my first initial call, obviously, was my wife, who was I think she was back in Oklahoma at the time. And I remember calling her, no answer. And I'm thinking, good gosh, I mean, answer the phone. Like, this is, you know, the most exciting news I've ever gotten as a, you know, as a player. And so I end up calling my parents because I had to tell somebody. And then she called me back and she says, what? I mean, what do you want? I said, I'm going to the major leagues. Or she said, what do you want? I'm watching The Bachelor. And I'm like, oh, that's about right. So that was my initial call up. I flew to Denver. Actually, she was in Colorado Springs because that was where our AAA was. So I flew to Denver. She picked me up at the Denver airport. We went straight to Coors Field. It was a day game, so I didn't end up playing that day. The next game was in St. Louis. So after the game, we flew to St. Louis. I started the next game in St. Louis. So my debut was in the old Busch Stadium. It was pretty cool. I didn't get a hit that day either. I didn't get a hit the second day. I better get a hit soon or else I'll be headed back to Colorado Springs. I got three hits the third day against Woody Williams and I kind of got it going from there and ended up staying. And even when Larry and Preston came back, we kind of went in. Jeremy Burnitz was our other outfielder. We went into like a four outfielder rotation, and then ultimately they traded Larry around the deadline and became, you know, an everyday outfielder for the Rockies. And so that's kind of how it went.
And as I say, the rest is just history. Matt, we really appreciate you coming on. It was an awesome conversation. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, my pleasure. I enjoy you guys' show and appreciate you guys coming on.
Let's move along. It's our For the Birds segment, always presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Hey, folks, when you play the Maryland Lottery, set limits, never play when you're stressed, and know your odds of winning. To learn more, simply visit mdlottery.com/playresponsibly. Must be 18 years or older to play. Pitchers, all the sun here, are not fond of the pitch clock, Adam. And in year number two, I've never heard much of it last season, to be honest, but it seems like speeding up the game, speeding up these arm injuries, according to some pitchers out there. Your reaction to what some of these pitchers have had to say, whether it be Corbin Burnes or Gerrit Cole?
The pitchers, there's a lot of pitchers that have always worked fast. There's a lot of people that are pace tempo. There's a lot of people that are real human rain delays. I played behind Steve Traxel. Love you, Steve. Game was 4 hours. I also played behind pitchers that worked really quick, like Miguel Gonzalez, who really let's get in and out, Mark Burley. The thing is, and I think Verlander hit on it perfectly, is each pitch is magnified. It has to be perfect. It has to be crisp. You're breaking the – it's not, let me get through this lineup one time. Let me go through this. It's max effort. I don't care who you are. Max effort is not good on your body. Also, go back to long toss. I don't see people long tossing anymore. What I do see is people crow hopping into these nets with heavy balls. Again, however anybody trains, I respect it. However, you know, whatever makes you feel better. But the longevity of this game has always been predicated on the simplest of things. Long toss and running poles. Run, stretch, throw. That's how baseball players have played 15, 20 years. That's what I did for 14 years, 19 professionally. Run, stretch, and throw.
So it's a coincidence, in your opinion, that these are occurring.
I'm not saying it's a coincidence because when you are saying max effort every single pitch, I talked to a guy like Verlander who pitched from old. He's been in a big league.
Justin or Ben? Justin, right?
Justin, not Ben. Justin. Ben took him deep. But Justin, he's pitched from 06 into this new era. So he's pitched this entire time and seen everything change. And he's seen it go from max effort. Justin Verlander was always 91, 93 first couple innings. All right, in the fifth inning, now he's going to get real nasty. Now it's first pitch that pitchers throw. Their first pitch is the nastiest pitch of the game. Eighth pitch is a bastard slider that they're breaking off. It's when you do max effort all the time, especially as a pitcher, it's not good for your arm. It doesn't matter who you are. You can say the pitch clock, but there's been guys that have pitched fast and on a pace since the game has always been played. And there's been slow people. Kenley Jansen had to improve. He was arguably the slowest in the game at 30 seconds. he had to improve. So it's like, you can't blame it on that. You got to blame it on every pitch as being max effort rather than, hey, let me get through this lineup once or twice. But you don't, because nobody gets in the lineup three times except a very selective few aces.
Bringing it closer to home, the Orioles dealing with some arm injuries this week. Suarez had to come in as an emergency starter. Tyler Wells going down. The good news is Bradish is back on the rehab in Bowie and had a, from all accounts, decent first start. So that's encouraging. But what are the Orioles to do right now with these pitching woes?
Obviously, it's great that Bradish is back out there. He says he's feeling good. That's a big, big, big positive. Suarez, who threw, we had a it's crazy. We played in Japan. We were next door neighbors with his brother. He came in town. They cooked some food. I smelled it through the door. I went over there. Papi, what's up? Some Presidentes, a little bit of some Japanese whiskey. We had a good time. But I just think that it just takes time for these arm injuries. You have to be patient with it. Obviously, these are competitors who want to get back out there. Means wants to get back out there. But if you just maintain what the Orioles are doing now, just maintain playing good baseball like the Yankees are doing until Cole gets back. If the Orioles do the same thing until you get Bradish, until you get Means, that's your trade in a way. You know, you're getting big pieces back. So it's just a matter of being patient. I know people don't like that in baseball because we want it now. We want it yesterday. But it's a 162-game season. I'd rather see both these guys pitch me 15 great starts, even 10 great starts, or over maybe three, and then he's got to go on the DL and then stuff like that. So I think just be patient. Just be patient.
All right. Well, you were pretty patient with an airline. Let's move beyond Baltimore, where you travel sometimes, our national and sometimes international perspective. It's brought to you by not that airline. It's brought to you by Relief Medical Marijuana Dispensary, where they go above and beyond to help the customer, unlike Unset Airline. You were traveling to the U.S. this past week for the MLB Network for Jackie Robinson Day. You were part of a Big Apple, or I guess close to Big Apple, Secaucus, New Jersey broadcast. Tell us about that experience with Chris Young and CC Sabathia. I enjoyed watching it.
I appreciate it. It was great. I mean, Secaucus, ooh, that's a tough one right there. That's a tough place. It's tough. I got to meet your friend Adam, who was great. We got to talk to you.
What up, Slack?
What a great platform. Obviously, CC has been spearheading so many great projects. You heard about talking about Rick Wood, and we got the Negro League Hall of Fame, East-West game. It's like CC has been the spearhead of a lot of things going forward in the last 4 or 5 years, and there's so much more. And just to be asked, him and Chris Young asked me, and of course, it was my brothers in this game and outside this game. So anytime I get to be on that platform, speaking of Jackie Robinson, of course, that's a no-brainer. And we got to play some golf. Wasn't good golf, but we got to play golf. And but again, to be out there, be on that platform, having the bigger audience and broader audience hear my opinions on things like that, different markets who tuning into MLB Network, they got to hear my perspective, and opposed to not hearing mine as much, I guess, through certain platforms. So it was good. It was good to be on a national broadcast, and I really enjoyed it.
Did you get a chance to talk to the commissioner, and when can we expect him to be on the podcast?
The commissioner, I don't know if he does podcasts. I have not heard him do any podcasts.
I might be able to find one he was on and show you.
Okay, that'd be good. But, I mean, he's very selective in his media. And Mr. Commissioner is a very busy man, so I'm not going to ask him to join our podcast. Maybe the deputy commissioner. He's fun.
All right, well, we'll try one of the two, if not all of the above. You did fly business class. I don't know if you paid for it. I would suspect baseball paid for it is my presumption. But anyway, you posted a picture of a dog in business class. Again, presumptions or assumptions. You know what happens when you make those. It was my assumption that dog was sitting next to you in business class, and I stand corrected.
I would have had the greatest flight in the world if that dog was sitting next to me. I'm telling you, that would have been amazing.
Who pays for that?
The owner. I mean, my kids fly business class, and people just be walking.
They're
walking by the sun. They be like, "Yeah, but they can sit their little butts back in the normal seat and be able." They like, "Oh, I can't lay down. I can't sleep." But I see people walking by, just like with their eyes. I'm like, "You could have paid for it. You're gonna yell at me." but no, I'm fortunate enough to work with MLB, and they take care of my travel and all that. So it's a blessing. It's really good to get status on the airlines. Us and United, that's who it was. It wasn't their fault. They got me home safely, but hey, let's update me to a Polaris group or something like that, or one of them 1K, something high up to where I could just go to the lounges willy-nilly.
Well, I'm glad you're all united now, you and the airline. And check out Adam's social media for all the pictures posted that we're talking about here on the YouTube version of the podcast. All right, speaking of these social media posts, let's get to socially speaking. It's apropos. This is where we answer a tweet or X post or social media posts. And you earn a chance to win a $50 gift card from Lido Pizza, who is the proud partner of the Baltimore Orioles. Now, last week, we had architect Janet Marie Smith on the podcast. And we asked the Camden Yards designer about the potential for someone ever to hit the warehouse at the yard. You tweeted it out. We are at Adam Jones Pod on all the social media platforms, or you can email us directly, theadamjonespod@gmail.com. The great Brian Burke at Burke72, he reached out via X saying, Westy, his oppo power opposite field, is obvious, absolutely nuts. I just don't think anyone's going to ever hit that wall on the warehouse.
A right-handed hitter?
An opposite field. Opposite field, yes.
A right-handed, if no lefty has done it, you think a righty's going to do it? That's my answer to that.
I wish people who aren't watching on YouTube, please turn on YouTube to watch his face and his palms as I'm reading that tweet. You got
the furthest ball I ever seen a right-hander hit was like, it would have been probably like Manny Ramirez or something going in, like in right center up on that part. I mean, hell no.
Thank you. I agree.
Unfortunately, no righty will ever go that. It's just way too far.
No. Also, we got this from Orioles gatekeeper. He's on X at Relish Daddy. I do like that handle. Kerstead has mutant power. He's hit some big blasts. I think the more he develops, gets bigger and stronger, he could be your guy.
100% it's going to be a lefty, obviously. But there's a few guys I think that if they get a pitch, certain pitch, maybe a changeup down and in, a slider down and in, a hard cutter down and in to where a fastball is harder to hit that far. But if they get something that already has some spin that they can get behind, obviously you see how far and how hard Gunnar hits the ball. I think he's probably high up on the list first, as he's been close. Santander, again, if you get one of them, some that's spinning down and in, I think that he can get it. You got Kerstad, you got Stowers, you got some lefties that I think with some tremendous pop. O'Hearn, if he runs into one that's down and in, again, I think it's going to take a spinning ball, not just a four-seamer. It's going to take something, a slider, a cutter, something that that has a little bit more spin on it to where they can fly. But like I said, they made shatterproof windows. Yeah, they probably didn't. They probably spent too much money on that.
Unnecessary, yeah. We do appreciate all the expense. Input. All the input at Adam Jones Pod. I don't know how many takes that took, but that was spectacular. If you weren't watching on YouTube, that was the owner, David Rubenstein, with the manager, Brandon Hyde, Gunnar Henderson, and, of course, Cal Ripken seated out there behind a desk at shortstop.
I think it was absolutely epic, and I think that with the news that Ripken is involved with the ownership, it's just phenomenal. Obviously, he is still, to me, the face of baseball in Baltimore. And he's hopefully the lead catalyst in this new wave of what's going forward with the organization and the city and the projects that are possible. He's still young enough to where he can see a lot of these things through. And I hope that he is on board with bringing a championship to Baltimore. He won one early in his career, and it's been such a long time, 40 years. So I hope that he is on board to bringing a championship to Baltimore.
Great to have him back in the fold. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hey, we want to thank our sponsors. Please go out and support the following because they support us.
The Adam Jones Podcast is brought to you by our friends at the Weinman Company. Everyone knows Greenmount Station in Hampstead, but did you know that at Greenmount Station, you can bet 7 days a week just like you're at the track? With in-person teller windows and state-of-the-art touchscreen kiosks. And with Greenmount Station's brand new Bet Park Sportsbook, you can bet on all other sports as well, wherever you are in Maryland. Spreads, money lines, live bets, props, parlays, and teasers. The Bet Parks Maryland mobile app is now live for Apple and Android devices, so you'll never miss your next big score. Just search for Bet Park Parks MD in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. And for a limited time, 21 and over Adam Jones podcast listeners can get a $75 gift card to Greenmount Station simply for opening a new account with promo code GMS and a minimum $50 initial deposit. $75 gift card for new users in Maryland only. 21 and over only. Please play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Adam Jones podcast is brought to you by Jimmy's Famous Seafood, Charm City's favorite crab cake destination. Local sports fan? Experience the ultimate pregame party at the tailgate. Cheer on the Ravens with iconic live performances, an open bar, and mouth-watering eats. Can't make it? No worries. Bring the same food that caught the attention of the Food Network right to your doorstep. Shipping East Coast recipes nationwide. Jimmy's Famous Seafood is the official sponsor of the guests appearing on the Adam Jones podcast.
Maryland Lottery. Because fun looks good on you. Right now, play our exciting new multiplier scratch-offs for a chance to win up to $2 million.
Come and get your fun.
If you received ERC funds, listen closely. The IRS has 10 years to audit your claim, but you only have until March 22nd to get taxpayer relief, and the clock is ticking. If you're losing sleep over a possible audit, we'll review your claim. If you made a filing error, we'll set things right. If you're being audited, we'll provide expert representation. The IRS Voluntary Disclosure Program ends March 22nd. You deserve peace of mind. Visit SaveMyERC.com to schedule a consultation today. That's SaveMyERC.com. Effective Solutions, your one-stop shop for commercial contracting. Everything from excavation and site development to emergency remediation and restoration. Effective Solutions specializes in many forms of commercial and mixed-use construction. With a dedicated staff and a commitment to quality, Effective Solutions delivers every time. There are a lot of ways to make whiskey, but there's only one way to make Jack Daniels. At Jack Daniels, they charcoal mellow every drop, only using water from Cave Spring Hollow in Tennessee. When you make your own label, you make everything else yours too. But we don't need to tell you that, do we? Make it count. Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. 2022. Jack Daniels, all rights reserved.
The Adam Jones Podcast welcomes Relief Shop. Shop Maryland's largest adult use and medical cannabis menu located at 1114 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, with medical delivery available throughout Maryland 7 days a week, only at Relief Shop.
Your fun awaits at Hollywood Casino Perryville. Feed the whole crew with something for everyone, from cheesesteaks to crab cake sandwiches. Plus, ask how you can get a $15 dining credit. Get in on the gaming action with the hottest slots and your favorite table games like blackjack, roulette, and poker. Free live shows every Friday and Saturday. Come experience nonstop fun and excitement only at Hollywood Casino Perryville.
Hey, you work hard, I work hard, and we all like to save money. That's why we need the Royal Farms ROFO Rewards app to get more value for our hard-earned money. With the app, you earn royalty points on every purchase, can place mobile orders for quick pickup, plus a discount at the gas pump with ROFO Pay. We all like to save money. And with the ROFO Rewards app, we do.
Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
It's the perfect time to check out a spacious and reliable new Toyota SUV. Like a RAV4, with available all-wheel drive and plenty of cargo space, you'll go from errands to adventures in no time. Plus, available features like wireless charging will keep you connected. Or check out a Highlander, with seating for up to eight. It's a hub for family adventure. Your Toyota dealer is getting new vehicles in stock regularly, so don't wait. Find deals on a RAV4 or Highlander at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Also, thanks to senior executive producer Chip Franklin for putting this episode together. All I have to say is he's doing it in rapid fashion. Amazing work by Chip this week. Go out and subscribe to the Baltimore Banner, folks. Until next week, be kind, be real, and make sure to be back for next week's episode. A very big time special guest on the Adam Jones Podcast.